Glad that you came to worship the Lord with us this morning, and as we gather to sing God's praises and to hear from His Word and to celebrate at the communion table, let's remember what we are all about here. In Psalm 68, verses 32 to 35, it says this: "Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth; sing praises to the Lord. O rider in the heavens, the ancient heavens, listen. He sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God in his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God." Let's stand together and sing his praise and ask him to open up the heavens this morning.
Oh, 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 oh,
oh. We've waited for this day, we've gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens.
After his resurrection, Jesus was with his disciples. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the Jesus who we celebrate, who died, who rose again, who ascended on high, and who will come again. This is who we serve, and this is who we worship this morning. Let's continue in worship.
Son, no, not one, and there will never be a name above.
final breath, he bowed his head. The Lamb of God was slain, and by his wounds I am set free. By his blood I've been redeemed. The great divine.
Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. Your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy.
You. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, glorious, mighty God, you have covered us with your righteousness, with your justice. Father, you have covered us in ways that justifies us with you. You've given us an opportunity for a relationship with you through the death of your Son, Jesus. Father, we are so thankful for that. Father, on this Memorial Day, we want to thank you for those who you've sent among us who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country, those who've given their lives in service to it, as a small example of what you did with your Son. And Father, we thank you for those people. And we think on those who can't be with us this morning. We think on those who are mourning this morning, mourning losses, Sharon Davis's family, Laura Michelski's family. Father, we lift them up to you for comfort and peace and compassion. Father, you are mighty and powerful, and you have seen these things, and we know that you will be there for them. Father, help us as a body to be with those families as well this week as they mourn. And Father, we look forward to praising you this morning in our service. We look forward to hearing what you have in your word for us, your word that convicts us, your word that guides us, that counsels us, your word that gives us advice on how to live in this world that you've created. And Father, I just think on those who can't be with us this morning as well, those who are up in North Lake, who are praising and worshiping you this morning outside, maybe doing some baptisms. And Father, your name is praised and lifted on high there as well. And we ask for a spirit of worship at North Lake as we ask for the same thing here, that your spirit would be among us, that your spirit would be at work here, guiding and powerfully working in our lives. Father, we are your servants. We are your humble servants who look to see where you would have us go next. Father, we live in a community that doesn't know you as well as they should, who doesn't worship you, who doesn't know that you're sovereign, who doesn't know how much you love them. Father, help us to bring that word to them, not just this week, but every day and every week throughout the year. And Father, we ask also this morning, as Pastor West brings us the word, that you would be glorified through his words, that you would use him in a powerful way, that his spirit, that your spirit would be present within him in a tangible way. So, Father, we lift all of these things up to you this morning, and we give you praise and glory and honor for who you are. Amen. Good morning, Grace. Yeah, that was pretty good. You're getting better. A couple of announcements this morning. First of all, let me welcome you this morning to our Memorial Day service. And as I said, this Memorial Day, you know, is a day when we celebrate those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. There'll be more on that later in the service. A couple of things are going on. I know it's near the end of the ministry year, but we have the baby bottle campaign going on, supporting the Pregnancy Support Center. So if you can get involved there, that would be great. VBS is starting to recruit. If you want to get involved, you can find Donna Albright and get involved in VBS. They're always looking for volunteers. And it's always an opportunity to speak into the community and to the kids in the community as well. I also want to highlight to you the Imani Youth Choir is coming on June 10th, 7 p.m. I think that's a Saturday. Forgot to look it up this morning, but I think that's a Saturday, 7 p.m. This youth choir has come a long way. Some of these kids have been involved on the receiving end of Operation Christmas Child boxes. So who knows? Maybe one of them got something from here. It's possible. And I would also like to ask the congregation if we would continue praying for the Davis family, for Sharon's mother who passed away recently, and for Laura Michelski and her family, as Laurie's dad passed away recently as well. Let's be in prayer for them this week, and that we can be supporting them in whatever way God leads us. So, let me get out of the way, and we'll continue worshiping this morning with a hymn number 345.
Good morning, and now is time for the offering. And it is often important for us, and we're reminded as the people that lead this part of the service, to do two things, and that is to remind the church about the missionaries that we support. We support missionaries throughout the world, and I can't help but today think about Steve and Jan Hobson in the Philippines, realizing today's not a holiday in the Philippines, or this weekend's not a holiday. But maybe, no, it's not. So what are they going to do tomorrow? They're going to be working on lesson plans. They're going to be working with their college students and their graduate students to prepare them to be giving, to prepare them to be leading in the gospel of Christ throughout all of Asia. So we want to continue to pray for them. Secondly, we want to remember local churches. This past week, I had an opportunity to walk around uptown Kingston. I was early for an appointment, so I was walking around, and I stood at the corner by the county office building, and I was looking at all the churches. You can stand there at that corner and just turn and see the old Dutch church, the Catholic church. You can look down the street and see the Methodist church. You can see churches everywhere. At one point, that consumed the lives of this area on Sunday morning. Everybody went to church. Not that many people go to church anymore. But rather than complain about it, I'm thankful that there are people in those churches this morning. We are thankful for that. There are people meeting over next door at King's Fire this morning to worship God. Let us pray for them that they will be worshiping the Lord, that they will seek God, and that God will make himself known to them through the power of his Holy Spirit wherever they are. It's not just about us. It's about this community, and it's about this world. So this offering is an act of worship, participating in God's work here, now, in our community, and throughout the world. So this is not just something we do. This is an active part of our worship. So let me pray for us. Our God and Father, we are so thankful for the love that you give us, for the opportunity that we have to be alive now, to know that you have placed us here now. Father, we just pray that you will give us wisdom as this offering is taken, that this church will be guided in its directions as it gives and administers these offerings. We pray for Steve and Jan Hobson. And Father, we pray for all the churches that are meeting in this community that somehow, some way, by your mighty power, by your Holy Spirit, that your message, that your love, that Jesus Christ will be praised and honored even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. trust you're all well today. And if not, you can see me afterwards and we'll talk about it. I'll pray for you. I thought I'd do a little ad here for the Pregnancy Support Center. You all see the baby bottles that are out in the foyer? I don't know. Have you all seen that? Okay. Can I encourage you, please, to pick up one of those baby bottles? And throughout the coming weeks, I think it's up until June 18th, that you take some time and you sit this in your house. Don't suck on it. And put it someplace where it's going to remind you that it's there. And then go and make sure that you start dropping your change in there. Just fill those things right up. And then when that's all filled up, come in and get another one. And after you get that one and you put that in a prominent place and you fill that one up, then bring that one in and get another one. The Pregnancy Support Center uses this resource to support the work they're doing here in Ulster County. And let's not fool ourselves into thinking there's not a need. So I would encourage you very strongly, take it home, fill it up. Don't wait for the spare change. Maybe even be purposeful. Maybe just fill it up with what you got anyway. And then bring it in and get another one. So that's just a thought for what that's worth there. Oh. And before we get started, I also want to offer my thanks to Brent Allen and Danny Forte for coming in and preaching in the past two Sundays. Because they were willing to serve, my family and I were able to take some time off, and we were able to go and see our son and daughter-in-law graduated from college. What a cool thing that was. And then to spend some time just as a family at a beautiful spot in Virginia called Smith Mountain Lake. I felt so welcome there. I felt as though this is my place on earth here. So I'm thankful to them, and I'm thankful for the church family that provides so graciously for time off. That shouldn't be understated, that there are many who serve in ministry who are not supported as I am. And I'm very thankful for the provision that you all make for my family and I to be able to get away. That's a great blessing. So thank you to the church, and thank you to the brothers on the board who make that possible. Okay. Let's take a moment and let's just bow our heads and settle our hearts. Father God, you are faithful and you are just and you are awesome and you are mighty. And Father, we come into your presence now and we pray that this time would bring you praise and adoration. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you. And I pray, Father God, that your spirit would rest very specifically upon each person present. And I pray, Father God, that Spirit would speak to them and draw from that which I say. And I pray that your Spirit would make it meaningful and that your Spirit would draw the individual listener into a deeper and more full relationship with Jesus Christ. Father God, I know that that's a work of the Spirit. That's not a work of any man. And so I entrust it into your care and your keeping. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as you know and as you've already heard, on Monday, we're going to be celebrating Memorial Day, the time we've set apart to honor those men and women who have given their lives in support of the United States. Now, when I think about Memorial Day, when I think about those who have given their all, surrendered their lives for the sake of the country, my thoughts inevitably take me to Arlington National Cemetery and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Now, I've visited Arlington a number of times over the years, both as a child and as an adult. And perhaps you have too. And I would strongly recommend that if you haven't been to Arlington National Cemetery, that you take the time to go down there, because I think you'll find it quite moving. Each time I've been there, I found myself stirred by the rows and rows and rows of headstones, the quiet beauty of its impeccably maintained grounds. And I think that the solemnity of that cemetery is given a tangible expression at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and in the ceremony of the changing of the guard. I see that solemnity in the silence demanded of the crowd by the officer of the watch as he speaks to them and tells them about the importance of what they are going to be doing. It always has amazed me over the years, the consistency of that message. Ladies and gentlemen, the ceremony you're about to witness today. And then he goes on and he speaks about why they will be silent and why they will remain standing. It's powerful stuff. And then I see the solemnity and the detailed inspection endured by each of the sentinels to ensure the perfection of their uniform before they take their place before the tomb. I see the solemnity in the snap of the sentinels' heels at each transition point and the precision of the guards as they walk their post in a ritual that mirrors the 21-gun salute. 21 steps across the face of the tomb. 21-second pause. A turn. 21-second pause. 21-second step again across the face of the tomb. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, the men and women of the 3rd Infantry Regiment, the Old Guard, stand post in their silent vigil. And all of that ceremony and all of that ritual is designed to honor the sacrifice of those who died to secure our independence, to preserve our rights and the freedoms those rights are meant to ensure. So as a nation, as a people, as a culture, we recognize that there's a nobility to the notion that one would give of their greatest gift, their life, for the benefit of another. I think that's why the passage from John 15:13 that says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends," is so often quoted at military funerals and at funerals for those who work for our police departments and fire departments and EMTs. And there is, I believe, a hope in the memorializing of this sacrifice, that there will be some sense of gratitude engendered, that there will be some sense of a stirring of patriotism as we honor those fallen men and women, as we think about what they've done. But truth be told, people being people, we often forget the meaning of the day. It gets lost in the time off and in the picnics and in the time we spend with friends. Kind of reminds me of the time around here after 9/11. Do you all remember that? I remember those heady days after 9/11 when everybody seemed to be nice to everyone else. Everyone had a song on their heart, you know. They'd open the doors. There were flags fluttering everywhere. People greeted each other with hello. There was a sense of community. But it didn't take very long before the flags began to come down. And people couldn't sustain the kindness of opening a door very much longer. And as I think on Memorial Day, I think it's fitting that Memorial Day falls on a weekend that we have gathered together as disciples of Christ, as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, to not only worship together, but to celebrate the Lord's Supper. As you and I, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we celebrate, we memorialize, and we remind ourselves of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. And this sacrifice, this act of love, was not simply to preserve our political freedom or to preserve our treasured way of life or to uphold our rights and privileges, as wonderful and as important as those things are. No, Jesus' sacrifice was meant to secure something far greater than that, of far greater eternal value. You see, at the communion table, those who have received Christ Jesus are reminded of the fact that it was Jesus' death on a cross with his sinless life that paid the penalty for sin that was ours to pay. And though through Christ's death on a cross, we were spared the wrath of God. Let your thoughts think on that a minute. We were spared the wrath of God. Had Jesus not died on the cross, we would have remained the sons of wrath. The sons and daughters of wrath. And we would have received God's just penalty for our sin. But because of what Christ has done for us, we no longer are the sons and daughters of wrath. That's remarkable. And because of the cross, we are offered forgiveness and peace with God. And the promise of eternal life. These were privileges. These were honors, if you may, that could never, ever have been received through the death of any sinful man or sinful woman. However desiring they may be to have assured these things, they could never have done it. They could only be granted through an extraordinary act of God as demonstrated in Jesus' death on a cross. And when I think of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, when I take a moment to contemplate what it means for me and what my response must be, I find myself reminded of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, verses 5 to 11. And there it says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now there is a great deal here. It's just an amazing statement that Paul makes in his letter to the Philippians. But I only want to highlight three things this morning. The first thing that I would have us notice is that verse 5 carries the weight of a command. The way that is structured in the original language makes it a very, very strong statement, an imperative. And Paul speaks of the work that Christ has done on our behalf, and he makes it clear that Jesus' work is not simply to be memorialized by believers. But rather, Jesus' sacrifice is to be foundational. It is to be foundational to the way that you and I relate to one another. See that it says in verse 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We aren't simply called to be reminded of what Jesus has done. To think of it as just a wonderful thing to kind of put it on a piece of paper and stick it up on the wall and go by it every now and again and go, yeah, wasn't that neat? How cool of him to do that. But rather, we're to live our lives in our relationships one to another as living memorials to what he has done. In my interactions with you, brother, I'm to have the same mindset as Christ. I'm to be a living memorial before you to what Christ has done on the cross. And in my interactions with you, sister, I'm to have the mindset of Christ. I'm to be a living memorial before you to what Christ has done on the cross. And in your interactions with me, you're to be a living memorial, a reminder to me of what Christ has done on the cross. And in your interactions with one to another, you're to be living memorials, reminders to one another of what Christ has done for you on the cross. And because of this mindset that Paul speaks of, we recognize that it doesn't come naturally to us. Have you noticed that? Having the mindset of Christ, does it come naturally to anyone here? Anybody? Want to raise your hand? Maybe way in the back. No. No, it doesn't come naturally to us. Why is that? Because we're sinners. Because we're self-focused. Because I'm prideful. Because I'm arrogant. Because I'm self-entitled. And having the mindset of Christ, it requires that we set our wills to making it a reality in our lives. We're going to have to work at this just as readily as those guards at the tomb have to give of their time, their energy, their mental resource, their strength to endure the training process that allows them to walk in front of that tomb. We're called to give our lives to Christ, our heart and soul and minds and strength that we might have His empowerment, that we might be the ones who serve as memorials before others and have the mindset of Christ in our relationships one to another. And what again was Jesus' mindset? It says this, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, to help us understand Christ's mindset, Paul starts by telling his readers a little something about who Jesus was. He says, Jesus is in very nature God. If you can think on something the rest of the week, I would submit that that would be a good thing to think on. Jesus is in very nature God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 and verse 14 say it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And in Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 and verse 19, it says this. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers' authorities. Amazing power our Lord has. Unparalleled authority he has. And all things were created through him and for him. And he is above all things, and in him all things hold together. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He had it all. The top of his game. The best of the best. And that means that Jesus shares in the full divinity of God. And because Jesus was in very nature God, he bears all the rights and privileges according to his deity. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the status accorded to him as God. You ever seen someone cling to their status? When I was a young man, I worked as a vocational evaluator in a local rehab agency. And I had the responsibility to do some testing for folks. And so I would do the testing, and that testing was meant to be confidential. It was only for the eyes of the person being tested and their immediate advocate. So I was probably 23, 24. I finished this evaluation. And as I was working on something else, a gentleman from the school district came in to the office. And he said, I'm Joe Blow, and I want to see the evaluation on such and such a person. And I kind of went through the file real quick and looked at the list of those who could see it and said, I'm sorry, sir, but I cannot release this to you. You're not on the list of those who can receive this. This is confidential data. He said, I don't think I made myself clear, son. Boy, I love that. I don't think I've made myself clear, son. What I wanted to say is, I'm not your son, firstly. But anyway, and I said, I'm sorry to say that it's unethical. I cannot release this to you. And then he started to argue with me. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he went on and on. And then he got more and more fired up. And I couldn't figure out why this man was, just increasingly fired up. And finally, at the heat of the moment, he looked at me and he said, do you know who I am? Well, there's the kicker. That's going to make a difference. You know, that's going to change things with the law. And I said, no, should I? I don't know what else to say. I don't know who you are. And then he went storming into my boss's office, and shortly after that, he went storming out of there. It was really important that I know that he was really important. And he had status. He's an important man. If only I had recognized it, then I would have broken my oath of confidentiality. If only I had recognized it, then I would have understood that the law didn't apply to him. Oh, I get it now. But unlike the important man, Jesus took a whole different tact. The one who had all the power and all the authority and all the majesty and all the rights and privileges that should be accorded to the deity, instead of being focused on his rights and his privileges and seeking and demanding the worship he alone rightfully deserved, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now, when I say he made himself nothing, be clear, that doesn't mean he made himself valueless. This is not a statement of value. This is a comparative statement. This is a comparative statement about God's magnificence in our commonality, his power and our relative weakness. It reminds me of Warren Buffett. You all know Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett has this amazing wealth. I think it's like $66 billion. Okay? And Warren Buffett has decided that he would give away upon his death 99% of his wealth. Anybody know what that leaves him with? Dave? Leaves him with $60 million. Okay, that's when he gives it all away. He's going to give it all away. So can you imagine Warren Buffett with his $66 billion deciding to trade places with me? Now, I got to tell you, Grace Church lavishes on the Smith family. I have no complaints. None. We are financially fine and taken care of. It's generous. But can you imagine how arduous it would be for poor old Warren Buffett to have to make his way through life on my wage? Now, it wouldn't be that my wage is valueless, because it's not. But for him, in comparison, I don't think he'd even recognize that he was being paid. I mean, you know, poor guy's shirts probably cost more. Probably that nice cotton blend. You know what I'm saying? Someday. And Jesus was so committed to doing God's will. And he was so committed and willing to lay down his rights and his prerogatives to his nature as God, that he willingly humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. It wasn't that he was willing just to die. He was willing to be nailed to a cross, to be beaten. He was allowing himself. He wasn't forced. He chose it. So when Paul says we're to have the same mindset as Christ, the truth is he's calling us to lay aside our precious, precious prerogatives, even though it may cost us. In my interactions with you, brother, I'm to have the same mindset as Christ. I'm to be a living memorial before you, and I'm to be willing to lay down my prerogative for your benefit. And that's true for you, sister. And that's true for each other. And that's true for you to me, to be willing to lay down our prerogatives, even if it costs us. This is hard stuff. And it's easy to think that the cost of living out this mindset of Christ will be really, really costly and a real burden. You know, when we hear the stuff about, you know, you want to have the same mindset as Christ, we start thinking, yeah, but does that mean I have to give up this? Does that mean I have to give up this? Do I have to surrender this? You may. But most of the time, what we're called costs us far less than we think it will cost. Typically, the cost is only to our egos. typically the cost is only to our pride. And the truth is that I am a work in progress on this point, living this way. It is hard for me to treat those who don't receive me well with this sacrificial love. I wish I could stand before you and say, oh yeah, I got this down. Follow me. But the truth is, it's hard. With the mindset of Christ, it's hard to love people when they don't love you back. Or when you think they're just outright against you. But when I do, when I'm focused on serving God in my relationships by acting on them with the mindset of Christ, I find that God blesses that obedience and he works in me to show me himself in new ways. Let me tell you the story of prayer. So, you have anybody in your life that eats your lunch? Let's just start with that. We always start with commonality. Anybody have any? Okay. So, I'm assuming you do. Okay. So, there are people that eat my lunch. Okay. They make me angry. You know? And it doesn't matter what I do, it seems they eat my lunch again. And so what I used to do is get all uptight, you know, like, oh, eat my lunch, and how dare they, and darn them, and fat on them, okay? And then I was looking through the scripture one day, and I got hit between the eyes by the passage that says, pray for your enemies. And I realized that I wasn't doing that. I wasn't praying for my enemies. I was praying against my enemies. I was praying curses down. But I wasn't praying for them. So I decided that it was time for me to take that seriously. And so I began to pray for them. You know how hard it is to pray for your enemies and not pray, Lord, change them. Lord, stop making them be mean to me. But that's not what he calls us to. He calls us to pray blessing into their lives. That's what I tried to do. Okay. So I'd come to that time in my prayer, and I'd be thinking about that person that eats my lunch, and through gritted teeth, I'd say, oh, Lord, bless them. Fill them with your peace. Give them your presence. Let them know that you are real. And you know what happens over time as you continue to do that? You're not so gritted anymore. And I find myself more and more saying, you know, Lord, just lavish on them. May they sense your presence. May they sense your peace. May they know you better at the end of this day, at the end of this week, than they knew you at the beginning of the week. May they sense that you're walking beside them and with them in all things. Enrich them, fill them, grow them in the knowledge and love of you, that they might know how high and wide and long and deep is your love for them. And you know what? They still eat my lunch. But here's the thing. Along the way, God has blessed me. And he has shown me that that's the way to go. And he's eased my mind. And so when the people, persons eat my lunch, I find myself so much better, able to receive that and to continue to love on them and to continue to try to serve them even as I have to surrender my pride and my ego to do so. And he enriches my life and he strengthens me and he allows me the resource that he's promised that he would give to continue to try to exercise the mindset of Christ as I interact with them. My life has gotten better. My life has gotten better as I've tried to put into place this mindset of Christ that's willing to surrender my ego and my pride and my prerogative to be right and to be loved and to be cared for and to be nice to. And I would have us take a moment and look at what God did in response to Jesus' act of sacrifice. Paul says this, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was exalted in his sacrifice. Through his submission to death, and God gave him a name that would be recognized by all. And God proclaimed Jesus' lordship over all. And through Jesus came salvation for all. And all of this was to the glory of God, all unleashed through the sacrifice that he chose to make. When you and I, when we submit ourselves to being living memorials, as we have the mindset as Christ, as we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of each other, we will share in this exaltation. We'll share in it because God will be lifting us up through our obedience to exalt the name of Jesus in us and through us. And our submission with the mindset of Christ and the work that he will do through us will bring glory to God. What a joyous thought that is for me, to think that my simple act of submission will bring glory to God and will exalt the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And this is true because he will be shown to be powerfully at work in the restoration that will occur in my life and in the change that begins to occur in my life. Reminds me of a brother, a friend of mine, who went through a traumatic time. But along the way, he had set himself to having the mindset of Christ in dealing with those who would harm him. It was no easy journey. But he began to live his life differently. He began to pray for those who harmed him. He willingly threw away the castigations that would come so readily to his mind. And he continued to say, I will fix my eyes on Christ. And that mindset of Christ began to characterize his life, and through him I have seen others introduced to Jesus Christ. And I have seen others come to know Jesus as Lord. He could have very easily just curled up and become bitter and angry and decided that he would repay evil for evil. That's not what he did. He decided to be a living memorial before those who would harm him. And he decided that he would have the mindset of Christ. Oh, not perfectly. We're never going to do it perfectly. But God was at work in him, exalting him. And the one who had been laid low actually has brought others into the kingdom of God. That gives God glory, and that is amazing. In my interaction with you, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm to have the same mindset as Christ. And as I live in light of Christ's sacrifice, I will be exalting the name of Jesus, and I will be bringing glory to God, and he will be at work lifting me up. So as I think on Memorial Day and the rightful honor accorded to our fallen soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, Coast Guard men, oh, I'm thankful. But in this time, I find it easy to think on the work that Christ did on behalf of me, on behalf of all the world. Work that he did at the cross as he willingly surrendered the right to his own advantages. And taking on the role of a servant, and in humility giving up his life for our sake. And in so doing, as we confess faith in him, God uses his Jesus sacrifice to make us alive together with him, forgiving our sins and canceling the record of our debt. Oh, how good that is to know. And as we remember that he has done what he has done, let's remember that our Memorial Day is to be more than a remembrance. Our Memorial Day is to remind us that we are to be living memorials of Christ. We're to have the same mindset of Christ, giving up our advantages for the sake of one another, knowing God will lift us up and using us to exalt the name of Jesus and bring glory to his name. As we come to the communion table, let's remember what he did. What a glorious Memorial Day. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for your grace. And Lord Jesus, I stand in awe of your sacrifice. I stand in awe of who you are with all your power and all your advantage to lay it down for the likes of me. That is too wonderful to even contemplate. It's too wonderful to get my arms around. Father, may we all be filled with a sense of that wonder. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So let's take a deep breath. Let's be still. Let's quiet our hearts. Let's remember who we stand before. Here at the table, we're reminded again and again what Christ has done for us. Here at the table, we can contemplate the cost of that sacrifice. Here at the table, we're reminded of what he unleashed through his sacrifice. Here at the table, we're reminded of who we are in comparison to who he is. Here at the table, we can be reminded again and again that he loved us. He loved me. The communion table at Grace Church is open to all who confess faith in Christ. You need not be a member. But we do ask that you have confessed Christ. This table is for those who believe because it is a reminder of what God has done. But if you are here today and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then I would most respectfully ask that you stay seated and do not take of the bread and the juice as it's passed around. Instead, I would ask that you take a moment and recognize that the God of the ages surrendered his life on your behalf, that you might know the power and joy of forgiveness, the wonder of grace, and you might have the promise of eternal life. Today is the day that you do not take the bread or the cup. Today is the day that you take new life. Choose life today. Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. And for those of us who know Jesus, indulge in the meal and be reminded of his great love. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's bow our heads and offer a word of prayer. Father, there is a hymn that says, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory, to receive honor, glory and honor and praise." Oh, Lord, we come into your presence and we recognize your power. And we recognize the wonder that you would sacrifice yourself, that you would willingly choose to lay down your life, that we might be able to come into your presence called whole and clean and forgiven and free. Father, fill our hearts with joy. Fill our hearts with gratitude. And as we indulge in this meal, strengthen us for the task at hand. Give us that mindset of Christ that others might see in us how you're at work. Amen. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Give him praise. Dear ones, beloved of God, take and eat. By his wounds, you have been healed. And in the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's bow our heads, join our hearts together. Father God, what a perfect plan you've created to pay the penalty of sin. And we rejoice in that provision. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your willingness to yield to death on a cross, to shed your blood on our behalf, a perfect sacrifice, a sacrifice that allows for us to be in Christ's presence, in your presence forever. In eternity, forgiven and free adopted children in Christ. Holy Spirit, we praise you for your indwelling spirit that allows us the ability to even contemplate these things, that draws us to the Christ and reminds us of his grace again and again and again. What a joyous thing it is to come to this table, to be reminded of your provision, reminded of sacrifice, and reminded of the sealing we have in the Spirit of God. You are awesome. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the words from the Scripture. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, dearly beloved of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of him. And when they finished the meal, they sang a song. Let's do that. So let's stand together and we'll sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me.
Please remain as you are for the benediction.
If any of you would welcome the opportunity to have someone pray with you after the service, well, then we would welcome you to come up front and join us. There'll be people here who'd be happy to have the privilege to share with you and pray with you and seek God and the concerns of your heart. So we welcome that. As the leaders of the church, we would also welcome and covet your continued prayers for us as we continue our search for our next associate pastor. And as we've been reporting, we are currently now down to what are probably, in all likelihood, the final four applicants. So we would greatly appreciate your prayers as the team conducts one more group interview, and then the elders begin the process of further scrutinizing each of these men to see who, in fact, may be presented to you as our candidate for the position of associate pastor. So thank you for those prayers. We appreciate that. Our benediction is taken from the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Brothers and sisters, go in the peace of knowing that you are dearly loved and offered forgiveness by the only God. Amen.